Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
Hey, my wife's super creative. Like, do you like this amazing decoration? Yeah, I'm going to use it. We're going to start a series over the next we're starting a series today, but we'll expand it over the next couple of weeks. Putting all your eggs in one basket. I think I've got a slide when we're going to get into the sermon in a moment. But before we do, I'm going to need four people who would like to volunteer as to do an experiment with me. I'd like two men and two women. So look, I'll really just think about name on that just for a moment, because it's like, it's a massive deal. It's like, give your life to Jesus or come out the front and do an experiment. I'll just leave you, just work on that. Think about summon up the courage if that's going to be you in a moment. If you're new, don't do it. It's probably not a helpful idea. But if you've been around a while, that's okay. I'm looking at you. But before we do that, a bit of family news about what's happening in the life of our church. I would really want to encourage you to come tonight. You don't need to register. Just come for an hour and a half, and we're going to sit around and talk about the Bible and what it means for our life. But on another level, I'd love to welcome two new families into our church from an official point of view. So Pastor Phil and Laurelie are at the back there. If you guys could just give us a wave, and that'd be amazing. So these two are pastors in the movement. They actually said that we're a part of, and they lead Destiny Strategies, which is a prophetic ministry. And they have felt like it's time for them to come and to sit in our church and be a part of our community. And so we welcome you two. We welcome Josh and Beck as well. They're Josh is probably out the back. Yeah. Listening intently while he's looking after the community. But welcome on behalf of our church to our to us, and you'll get to know them and be a part of our thing. So if you see them around, just make them feel welcome. That would be amazing. All right, so do I have my four volunteers before I pick you? Just anybody. Now it's getting ridiculous. Okay, the four in the front row, that's fine. Wow. No, go just here. Like, some of you, like, do it. Well, get me on the stage. Come on. Far out. You know the expression, putting all your eggs in the one basket. Okay, and so it's an interesting expression. If you can just take one of this, each of these, the front couple. It's an expression that just means hedge your bets. We do this in every part of our life. We are loath to put all of our stuff into one thing. And so we walk around with different things. But I want to suggest over the next few weeks that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, should actually put all of everything into the basket of following him and helping others follow him. Be a disciple of Jesus and make other disciples of Jesus. Similar to the message last week, what's the greatest command? Love God and love people. It's like two in one. So that's where we're going to go. That's what we're wanting to do. So I would love you. There is a time limit. We'll just cheer and clap, but whatever. But I need you to make a paper plane, please. It does not need to fly to the end of the earth. I need you to make a paper plane, please. Okay. Oh my goodness. I picked the wrong people. I just need a paper plane. I just ask a paper plane, please. Right, if you hold up your paper plane, don't throw it. Do not throw it. Do not throw it. Hold up your paper plane. Here we go. All right. Excellent. So Gary and Nick, would you hold up your plane so everyone can see? There are people watching online. They cannot see this. So you have to hold it up. Hold up your plane. That's fantastic. Still going. You're not being paid for this. It's okay. Just hold it up and hold it up. Okay, here we go. All right. That's really good. What I'd love you to do, just if you can take a different color this time. And it's one and two and three. Take one. Because while I love that paper plane, that's the one I want on the screen. I want that paper plane. If you go to the next slide, I think I've got it in a different version. Yep. Just so you can see how it's folded and all that type of stuff. Again, let's go one more slide together just in case you, that's what I want. Go. Here it is. This is what it looks like in a normal thing. Here, I did this earlier. This is what it looks like. Come on, hurry up, make it. Maybe let's cycle through those pictures again because they're a little, and they're not sure what to do. Make a paper plane. That's all I asked you to do. Just make a paper plane. You're cutting into my preaching time. Hurry up.
No, I bother with that.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Hold it up. No, she's wrong, but she's got it. She's done her version of what it is. It's her truth. It's not real, but it's her truth. Hold it up. Yeah. Hold it up. Scrunch it up. That's all. Thank you so much to the four willing. Fantastic. If you leave your things at the foot of the scene, that would be amazing. Do you know the illustration for me is exactly what happens in this next text that we look at together? And Jesus and the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And they saw him, they worshipped, and some doubted. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28:16-20. Everyone knows that text. For me, it's like make disciples. The chief verb in this thing is make disciples. The verb is make. You need to make disciples. The highest priority in this thing, in the way that it's constructed, is make disciples. As you go, make disciples. And what will happen is we will baptize them and we'll teach them, and Jesus will be with us always. And I think if we're really honest, if we're just very honest about where we're at, it's like make a paper plane. Jesus said to them, go and make a plane. And so they make a paper plane and it's whatever you want it to be. It's this. It could be this. It should be this, but we're not really sure. If we're honest as people who follow Jesus, we go, yes, we're going to make disciples. We're going to put all our eggs in the basket and make disciples. And looking around at other people, what are you doing? How is that working for you? Should I turn it left or right? Show me, give me another picture. What does it actually look like? I'm not sure. And I wanted to look at this idea of what it is to make disciples, because I think we get stuck by looking at this whole idea of making a disciple. Because what we think is we grab to something like teaching, and those of us that love to teach, we go, yes, it's a course. Of course, that's what it is. It's a course. It's information. It's something you should do to get from point A to point B, and they graduate and you get something and you get baptized in water. That's pretty simple. Like that's easy. I get that part. But that's just one part of what it is to make disciples. And so if you can imagine, there's 11 disciples. Fascinating that there's only 11. They're not sure of everything. But Jesus says to them, make disciples. As you go and do what you do, make disciples and baptize and teach them. They know exactly what he means. They're not looking at this going, what? You meant us to make a what? They know exactly what he means. They know exactly what he... They had grown up in first century Palestine where rabbis would walk around. That's what you do. Let me tell you what they would do. A disciple means someone who's a learner, someone becomes like someone. We looked at the whole idea last year of apprenticing to Jesus, become like Jesus, be with Jesus, do what Jesus did, or the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus. But for Peter, John, all of those guys that were there when Jesus had made disciples, they would have learned between the ages of 5 to 10, they would have learned the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the Genesis. We're really good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was something, and I don't know. They knew the first 5 books. Well, there's no Netflix or Instagram or anything like that, but they knew the first 5 books. Those that were a little bit more able by the age of 12 to 14 would learn the family trade, and they would learn the prophets, the Psalms. That's what they would do. Boys, again, this is male dominated culture in the way that it works, by the age of 14 to 15 could apply to a rabbi to become one of their disciples. If they believe that, so they would come to a rabbi and go, I would like to follow you. Can I follow you? Can I submit to your school? I want to follow you. And he would say, come follow me. And so what they would then do is learn the rest of the Old Testament. And the 11 disciples there, and he says to go and make disciples. And we're like, I don't even know much of any scripture. How am I going to make a disciple? Like, I read the verse of the day, popped up. I can't make it. You want me to make something? Not even sure I am much of a disciple, let alone can I make other disciples. I'll tell you, you're in great company. Because these guys that followed Jesus weren't a rabbi, didn't follow the school. Jesus chose them. He flipped it around and went and chose them. They didn't choose him, so he flipped it on its head. He chose guys that were doing stuff that weren't didn't make it in a rabbinical school, that weren't like the religious elite that I need to choose you. He's just like, hey, can you come follow me? And so they do. But when they get to the pinnacle thing where Jesus is about to hand over the baton and I want you to go and do it, they're not even sure. They worship and they doubt. They worship and they doubt. Yeah. But I want to talk about us and how do we make disciples? Why should we just put all our eggs and actually follow Jesus and help other people follow Jesus? I think what we do at times is that when we're trying to understand what this is, we think, okay, I think I understand what it is. It's a course. So I'm going to put a lot of stuff in information and education, and that will be great. That's super important. It is. I think it is. And every parent's nudging their kid, going, see, his pastor said you should study, and that's exactly right, you should. But then we look at kids' ministry and put stuff into the kids' ministry basket. We put stuff into something else that we can reach the world. And so let's go and do change makers and change the world and reach people and love on people. Let's do that. And we should do that. Then we look at, we want to worship Jesus. Let's have a worship ministry. Let's do that. We should do that. But I want to suggest to you that each of these things, and is all of this of following Jesus and helping other people follow Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus and helping other people disciple Jesus, we look at things in silos. I do my work. I do my family time. I do my devotional time. I do this ministry. I do this. We compartmentalize our spirituality when I think it's actually, we should just follow Jesus and help other people follow Jesus. I think we can even do that when people haven't made a decision to follow Jesus. That's what I want to share this morning, and maybe mess up with some of your religious thinking that it should just be when you make a decision. We go to this next slide, I think is there. What you need to understand is this principle that God is actually at work. God is sovereign. God is at work in all things. But Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to the very day, and I too am working. Over the last couple of years, I've begun to see this in a greater way. If I'm very honest, I would have read this scripture a few years ago. God the Father is sometimes working, definitely in other people's lives, not sure about mine. Maybe he did it in the past. I'm not convinced he's doing it anything today. And Jesus, I hope you're listening. If I'm just being transparent. But I'm beginning to see more and more and more God is at work, always. He's always at work. He's always at work. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is always at work. So when Romans 8 says that God works in all things, I know that he's actually still working in my life, but he's actually working in people, aren't you? He's working in your environment around you. He's working in your workplace. He's working in your family. He is working everywhere. I think it's hard for us to see this because we look at it and go, well, where is he? Where are the signs, the miracles, the wonders and stuff? I'm telling you, God is at work in people's lives. God is at work. For us to help make disciples and be a disciple, you need to understand that God is actually at work. He is alive. He's here. That's why Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Because he's trying to say to them, I am with you. I'm actually not going to go away and be absent and come back and go, what have you done? Very good. Well done. He said, no, I'll be with you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will fill you and empower you. But I will be with you. Probably the best way for me to look, if we go to the next slide, one of the ways that I think we can help people take steps towards faith in Jesus is to understand that people are on a journey. So in 1972, some really smart dude came up with this way of scales, angle scale, about how we can measure where people are, plot where people are. You may even be here today and you're like, I don't actually, I've never said yes, I want to follow Jesus. That's cool. You're totally welcome. Because we are all on a journey of what it is to follow Jesus. I'll look at some scripture in a moment because of what that looks like. But I remember when I first became a Christian at the age of 16, I went and told everybody I could that unless they were born again, they were going to hell. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly how I said it. I factored on the truth and I just majored on the truth. A little bit of love happened sometime in the future, but not there. It's like this. Are you born again? No. Oh, unless you're born again, you're going to hell. What? My friends used to go, what are you talking about? Do you know how many people I went to Jesus? None. None. Because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. I was like, man, truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me set you free. I don't know, give it to you, right between the eyes. What I didn't realize, and this is what I'm a little bit smarter, wiser now, but I actually can see where people are at. I've had way more wonderful spiritual conversations with people and talking to people and leading people to Jesus in the last 5 years than I've ever had before because I have understood that God is at work and so I just find where he's at work and I just work in that space. Because sometimes we're like, I'm banging on solid ground, nothing's happening. But meanwhile, someone over here is desperate for Jesus and you just need to say, would you like to become a Christian? And they go, oh, yeah, wow. And you're like, what's going on? Well, you need to see if this is helpful for anybody. There are people on a journey that have no awareness of God. You may have there's some awareness of God. They have a Christian friend, whatever it is, goes up to investigating Jesus. They haven't actually, from a church language point of view, made a decision to follow Jesus, but they're interested. Right up to the other extreme, on their faith with others. It's a growth. It's a journey. It isn't actually, we think discipleship is across the line or not across the line. That's it. It's all or nothing. You're either in or you're out. That's not how Jesus discipled his disciples. When he said, go and make disciples, there's a journey. I want to show you what he does with an example of Peter. But we look at it and go, I need to make a decision. Have you made a decision? You haven't made a decision. You're in or you're out. And then once you made a decision, then we'll spend lots of time with you. We'll give you to the class, get together this, and do we spend resource heavy on that side? How many of us think that Jesus, we know the story of the disciples. He comes along to Peter and says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Pretty famous story. How many think that was the first time that Peter heard Jesus? Heads up. He's there fishing and someone came along and Jesus had heard him and he's like, yes. How many think that he'd heard Jesus 5 times, 10 times? How come no one's going to vote? You just know, I'm not saying nothing now. After the planes are going, planes going down. I'll put to you that most of you think that Peter's there doing something with his brother, working on their family business, and Jesus comes along, and there was something about him, the way that he walked, that he said, come follow me. And he's like, well, yes, I'm going to do this. How many thought like, nobody. And we go around trying to make people go, would you like to follow Jesus? And they go, yes, I must. And they're like, nobody does it. And we get so disappointed when we share our faith with people because they don't go, yes, I'm going to give up everything. That's not how it works. Let me lightning throw through some scriptures for you. When you read the Gospels, there's 4 of them. They're written by 4 different people. They're all 100% the Word of God, but written from a perspective of a human being. And so Luke is a Greek person. He thinks linear, logic. So it's probably more in a chronological order than most of the other ones. John just loves Jesus and starts with the beginning was the Word, and it's just very different. But what happens is we read it looking for a chronological thing. Luke's gospel's probably the most chronological in order. But sometimes they move stuff around just for emphasis and they don't think of time like the way we think of time. We're just like, hang on, how come Jesus jumped into the temple at the beginning and then another thing's right at the end? They're trying to do something else. It's all part of the story. So if we look at Luke's gospel just for the sake of today, and you can see Jesus' journey with Peter. And so Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's baptized the Holy Spirit, tempted, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. And he was teaching in the synagogue to everyone, praised him. And he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up and read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was, and he unread it, and he read it. So he's preaching, and he's becoming famous. Let's go to the next slide. And then he went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, on the Sabbath day, and he taught the people, and they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In a synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit, and he read at the top of his voice. I can't quite read all of that there. And so he cast the demon out. Let's go to the last verse. And news about him, as news about spreading through the surrounding area. Let's go to the next line. Jesus left the synagogue, so just cast a demon out, and he's super famous. And he went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and she got up and at once and began to wait on them. Now, at sunset, people brought Jesus all kinds of diseases and sickness and lays hands, and he healed. At this point, Peter has still not a disciple of Jesus. There's miracles going off. Jesus is super famous and he has no followers. There are no disciples at this point of Jesus' ministry. There's none. At daybreak, he went out to a solitary place and he prays and he's not going to keep going. And so he goes and keeps going. Let's go to chapter 5. One day, as he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats and left there by the fishermen who were washing the nets. He got into the one boat, belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." "Master, we've worked hard all night. I haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught a large number of fish so that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners and the other boat came and helped them. And verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." The other versions say, "Come, follow me." What you need to see in this moment, Jesus meets Peter where he's at. He meets him where he's at and uses language that he understands. "You will fish for people." It's like, "Hey, I'm going to talk a language that you understand. Come and follow me." He is not asking him, "Would you like to give your life to Jesus?" He's not asking that. He's like, "Come and follow me. Come with me on a journey." That's it. And what happens in that journey is phenomenal. He sends them out to do stuff in his name. So they're growing. If you look at that angle, they're growing in their understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done. And they're like, "Oh, wow." They're taking one step at a time to become more and more like Jesus and thinking. And so you go to chapter 9, the next one. Until there's a catalytic moment, which we get to in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. So between 5 and 9, there's a whole bunch of different things. They feed 4,000, 5,000, bunch plus people. All of this crazy stuff that they're involved in, which is part of their discipleship journey. And at one point, Jesus has an invitation for challenge for him. He's praying. "Who do you," the crowd, "say that I am?" Some say John the Baptist, other Elijah, others one of the prophets. And then he says in Australian, "What about yous?" Which is the plural for you there. "What about you?" Plural. "Who do you say that I am?" This is what we love. This is the moment. There's background music playing. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. That's what we look for, which really only started in the early 1800s. Come to the front and make a decision and follow Jesus. Nothing wrong with it. It's fantastic. You need a moment, a catalytic moment of decision to say, "Is this yes or not?" And we need to do that. Challenge is that we, with people that don't know Jesus yet, we want to jump to that. Are you in or not? We've got to get to chapter 9. But it takes a long time to get there. You know what happens after that? After that verse? This is where maturity comes in. From that moment on, Jesus starts to tell them about the fact that he will die and that they have to die. "If anyone wants to be my disciple, they must take up their cross and follow me." I think the challenge with us is that we start there. You must die. People are like, "I'm not dying for you," or what? No. But if they knew how great Jesus was, at that point, they're like, "I'm in." Righto. John puts it differently. where they have the Dracula passage. If you eat my, drink my blood and eat my thing, and everybody leaves. And Jesus turns to Peter, are you going? And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. This is awesome. You are amazing. I don't totally understand what happened, but I'm in. Which is what we want to be. He's so captivated by who Jesus is. Maybe doesn't understand everything, but he's like, I'm in. I'm in. So, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking, forget the rest of the slides, we're gone. I want to unpack some of this stuff tonight, what this looks like. But the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at how do we do this more and more? How do we look for, find where people, God is at work in people's lives? That's what we're going to be talking about next week. But I wonder if the team could come, the worship team. You and I are followers of Jesus today because someone came alongside us and didn't just say, make a plane. They walked the journey with you and I. Maybe you read a lot of self-help books and looked it up on YouTube. I understand that. That's okay. But discipleship is meant to be done in person with someone. And I want to challenge us as a church that we can disciple someone towards faith, one person. I want you to start thinking about this. Again, the kingdom of God is not about guilt, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I you just think about the fact that all that Jesus has done for you, the journey, the moments that he's taken up in your life that has led you to like, I'm all in. I don't understand everything. You might worship and doubt, but he's like, I want you to go and make disciples. And so everything that we do should be actually about helping people. As we follow Jesus, them follow Jesus. But how much easier would it have been if I had been clearer about what we're looking for? And if I tell them, okay, hey guys, thank you so much. You're going to stay down here. I'll go and stand out with you. So God came down to us in Jesus and said, hey, this is what it's actually all about. I'm going to show you what God looks like, what he sounds like. And he died for you and for me that we would have forgiveness of our sins, hope, freedom, friendship with God. Amen. And there is a moment. We do have these moments. I'm not going to dismiss the fact that we have a line in the sand where you say, yes, I had a line in the sand in my life where I was like, yes, I had people disciple me towards faith, asked a great bunch of questions. I was like, I don't understand it, but there was a moment, a defining time. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe today is that day. You never thought about following Jesus, actually a decision. You might be in church and all of this stuff, your parents have brought you, someone brought you, and he just turned up. You're watching online. I have no idea how you got here, but God does. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants to make something of you. And he sees you and he loves you. I want to encourage you to say yes to him. That's all you need to do is say yes to him. You may not understand everything. That's okay. It's the next step that you're going to take. And if you would like to do that today, at the end of the service, we're going to have coffee and tea and it'll be madness. The kids, they let the kids out and it goes crazy. So I'll stay at the front here. I'd love to talk with you, answer any questions you have and pray a very simple prayer with you. But if we could all stand, we're going to sing this song in a moment. Holy Spirit, all we want is more of you. So I'm challenging all of us to sit alongside someone in the busyness of our life. And I'm saying to you that as you go, as you do what you do, as you shop, as you work, as you study, as you do all the things that you do, there's an opportunity for you to lead someone, talk to someone about Jesus. It's a step. It starts with just thinking, because God is at work in someone's life. And so I'm going to pray in that way in a moment. But before we do that, let's just see, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us.
All we need is love, dear Lord, please help me. All we need is love, dear Lord. All we need is your words again. They have no power to fear. Always please help remedy us. All we need is for the fear. They have no power to fear.
I think that Jesus' call to make disciples isn't just for a leader. And we unpack that because I think it's our call. You do this as a parent, you disciple your kids. If you just left it to me, that would be hilarious. It's not going to work, is it? We all can do this. I want to encourage us over the next few weeks, and maybe you're like, I'm not really sure. I can't do this. I don't have enough time. I regret all of that. But I'm telling you, as you do whatever you do, there's an opportunity for you to lead someone, disciple them towards step. It's a step. Just change it to not a single line, to a journey. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are at work in our life. You're at work in our environments, in our workplace, our family, Lord, in our schools, our universities, Lord, where we live, in our homes. Lord, you are at work. And so, Lord, like Jesus, we must work as well. Help us to be effective for you. Cause us to see the people that you are at work with and work with. I pray that, Lord, the challenge to make disciples, to be a disciple as well, is huge. But Lord, I thank you that you are with us always. You've given us the authority and the power that we need. You've given us the Holy Spirit. So I pray this week that we would just pray this in a really good, God, that you would mess with our hearts, that we wouldn't be the same again. That we would have to, we must be about the Father's business. So I thank you. This pleases you, and that, Lord, you're working alongside us and with us. And we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let the band continue to play in a moment, but I just want to open this space. If you'd love prayer for anything or whatever else, and also, if you said yes, I want to follow Jesus, I'm going to be at the front. I want to talk with you and pray with you, but God bless you.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.